Thank you, Dolores. We are looking this morning at the, that's fine. I don't want you to look at this yet. We are looking this morning at the final in this series on the names of Jesus Christ. I found out from Joe Vitale this morning there's been 17 of them that's gone all the way back to November. So with me going on a trip and Pastor Mark, by the way, is going to be preaching on the book of Galatians. And I think in the bulletin it said to read the book of Galatians by next week if you can. You can do it in about 15 minutes. It's six chapters. I decided this would be the final message on this series. I was thinking about the other message, and I was thinking about the people who spoke and gave us these names of Jesus Christ. For instance, when it says in the Matthew's gospel, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that was spoken by an angel, by Gabriel, when he announced it to Mary. Then, of course, you have the passage where it says, this was happened to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet that says, Emmanuel, God with us. And that was spoken by Matthew. Matthew specifically is taking that passage and applying it, of course, to the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's the Gospel of Matthew. Then, of course, Peter looks at Jesus and he says to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was spoken by Peter. So you're already getting a collage. One was spoken by an angel. One was spoken by the disciple in his writings, Matthew. One was spoken by Peter. Then, of course, you have the passage, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's not quoted in the New Testament, but referring to Christ because it says, a son shall be given to us, a son shall be born to us. That was spoken through Isaiah. These are names we looked at, by the way. Then also there was the one, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. We looked at that, and that was spoken by John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Then, of course, Jesus is called the Son of Man, and that was spoken through Daniel. In the Old Testament, Daniel, where he spoke about the one who is the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, which of course is picked up as Jesus is now this fulfillment. That was spoken through Daniel. And of course, last week we looked at the Word of Life, and that was spoken through John the Apostle. So you have Daniel, you have Isaiah, you have John the Baptist, John the Apostle, an angel, Peter. All these people are sort of a collage of names in referring to Jesus Christ. But this last one, this name was spoken by Jesus himself, and I think it's pretty significant. Not a lot of the names Jesus puts on himself, but this name, Jesus, he said, this is the name that I'm going to give to you and I'm going to speak to you. We're going to look at it eventually, but some background of that, you need to go back to the Old Testament to see how Jesus got to that. This is the passage in Exodus chapter 3 about the burning bush, and you know in this passage, God is appearing to Moses, and he's telling Moses that he's going to go and bring the people out of Egypt, which is the ultimate picture to the Jewish person of salvation. God's people were in the land of idols. They were in the land of darkness. They were under slavery, and now God's going to bring them and save them. He's going to make a covenant with them. You will be my God. I will be your God. You will be my people. And that's exactly what happens when we come to Jesus Christ. We were following idols, we were following sin, we were slaves to sin, we were in darkness, now we've come to the light and we've come to righteousness and forgiveness. And this is just the appearance. God has just spoken to Moses and he says, Moses, he says, here I am. And he says, take off your sandals for the ground that you're standing on in is holy ground. And these are the first words God says to him. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Let me tell you how very significant this is, because every Jewish prayer begins with these words. Every Jewish prayer. Now, a Jew will pray probably 30 or 40 different prayers in a course of a devotion, but every one of those prayers begins always like this. Baruch Hata Adonai, blessed art thou, O Lord our God. Baruch Hato Adonai, Lord our God. Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe. Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe. Elohei Avraham, the God of Abraham. Elohei Yitzhak, the God of Isaac, Jacob, Isaac, excuse me, Elohei Yaakov, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov. Every Jewish prayer begins with this because of this passage. When God revealed himself to bring salvation to the Jewish people, every Jewish prayer now begins that way. Whether you want to pray for your car to start, you start with this prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov. Help my car to start. I'm serious. No prayer is mundane. No prayer is of any insignificance, but it must start with who God is and how he's revealed himself specifically to them in this way. Verse 13. Moses said to God, Exodus 3:13, Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, this is now Moses speaking and responding, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them? What is the name of this God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But does he have a name? And then God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now let me say that this is where you get this very amazing revelation of these four Hebrew letters that spell out letters that spell out the word, if you pronounce the letters, Yahweh, where we get the word Jehovah. So here is God revealing himself to them, and he's saying, I am that I am. Tell them, I am, the one who is, the one who was, the one who shall be, I am. I have not forgotten because I am still there. I am that I am has sent me. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. Now, this is pretty significant because in another passage, God speaks again to Moses and he says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. Read Genesis chapter 15. Because many times the word Yahweh is also translated as Lord. So it's also a word called Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God. And here he says, but by my name Lord, now that's the word Yahweh there. That's the word Jehovah there. That's the word I am that I am. I did not make myself known to them. So he appears to them in one way of a name of God, the one who is almighty. But now he says to Moses, this is my name. This is my name. No one ever asked that of God before. This is my name. This is who I am. And there I reveal myself as I am that I am. But by my name, Yahweh, Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. So now we pick up in the life of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And he is now discussing who he is. He says to them, you are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That was a theme that Jesus was always saying. I know that which I speak. The words that I say to you have been given to me by my Father from above. The works that I do in front of you have been given to me by my Father from above. I'm from above. I know, I've seen things. The things that I see, I declare to you. There is a hell because I've seen hell. I am from above, you are from below. Jesus was always speaking about this. In fact, let me show you this passage in John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who has given you the true bread out of heaven. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. Don't read on. You know, the Jews got manna in the wilderness. This manna fell down from heaven. It says, manna from heaven. It said, it's not my Father that's given them manna from heaven, but it's my Father that's given you the real bread of heaven. The real bread of heaven. Those Jews ate that manna and they died in the wilderness. But the real bread of heaven, look, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And look what Jesus says. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread out of heaven, not manna on the earth that you eat and you die, but I've come out of heaven. I'm from above, you're from below. Let's go back to John. Therefore, Jesus says, because of where I've come from, therefore, in other words, this is the result. I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now, let me tell you something. A good translation in your Bible will not have the word he in real print. It will be in italics. In fact, the word shouldn't even be there. Jesus is saying, you're going to die in your sins. You won't know salvation. You won't know forgiveness. If you don't know that I am, and that's a reference to Exodus, that I am, not I am he. The I am he is to make it sound proper with English word translation. They're just making the flow. They're making the participle and the pretense and the noun and the subjective. They're trying to make it sound right in the structure of an English, but that's not right. In the Greek, it's right in this way. Unless you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. If you don't see who I am, that I am the I am, you don't have salvation. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. Now, this was like a glip, or a blip, if I could say. You know, a blip, like the Jews literally went like this. Did you? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Did he say what I thought he said? Maybe he stuttered. Maybe he got some spittle on his mouth. The I am? Yahweh? Jehovah? That's, no. Look at the next verse. This is verse 24. Look at John 8, 25. So they were saying to him, who are you? Wait a minute. You just threw a curve at us. Was that a mistake? Did you just stutter? Who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? Let's read on. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, there it is again, by the way, not he, that's not there. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. You're not going to know my work of salvation. You're not going to know ultimately salvation is of the Lord. I'm the Lord. I am the I am, the Lord, the Yahweh, the Jehovah, not just the Almighty. This is who I am. Unless you see, you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am. What does it mean to be lifted up? Well, I love the passage in Romans chapter 8 where Paul said, who's going to condemn us? Yea, rather it is Christ who died. He was lifted up on the cross. Yea, rather who was raised from the dead? Jesus was resurrected. Who ascended into heaven? And who is at the right hand of God. All this work of Jesus Christ, his death being lifted up, like Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, that those so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. His resurrection, unless you see that I'm the salvation of the Lord, that I am, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die. Same passage. Same people. John 8, 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is the Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and kept his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Now that suddenly brings up a whole issue here. Your father Abraham, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Elohei Avraham Elohei Yitzchak, the God of Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Let me show you how this whole idea of the idea of bringing Abraham here is working here. This is Jesus here. There are the people who didn't believe what they call in the resurrection. And so, you know, the story is there's a woman and she has a husband and then his brother and she's been married seven times. And then they trick Jesus. All right, now she's been married seven times. So in heaven, in the resurrection with seven husbands, who is she married to? And Jesus says, you're all a bunch of baloney. There's no such thing as marriage in heaven. So let's just drop the issue. And you know how I can tell you that? Because I've been there and I know and you don't know. But let's get to the more serious issue here. You're trying to trick me with something stupidity and idiotic of your own figment of your imagination. Let me tell you where you're really wrong. There is a resurrection. What you do today is going to mean what's going to happen at the end. Look, but regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush Exodus 3, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken. It doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham. I was the God of Abraham. No, I am the God of Abraham. I am. They're alive. They didn't die. They pass into a new realm of life that you know nothing about. And at the resurrection, I am the God. God's not the God of the dead and death. God's the God of life and the living. I am the God. And he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day because he's alive. Not I was their God. I continued, but they're gone. I am their God. Here's another passage. This is the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. You know why he's speaking about Abraham here? The ultimate picture of the Jew is to be in the bosom of Abraham. You know what that was? Heaven. Heaven. Jesus could have said, and being carried away by the angels in heaven. That would have been the same thing. The same thing. Because where is Abraham? Oh, Abraham's a friend of God. Abraham's in heaven. Well, to be in the bosom of Abraham, well, then you're in heaven. So Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham's not only alive, he's been where I've been. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day and was glad to see my day. The Jew said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? You're not yet 50 years old. What does this mean? What is this shock of reality? And then Jesus finally, not a glip, not stuttering, not spittle on his mouth, he finally lets him know. And this is the name that Jesus gives to himself. Of all the names, this is his name. Truly, Jesus said to them, truly, truly. You know what truly, truly means? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again. If you miss this, you're lost. If you miss this, you're lost. Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am, I am, I am, I am. Let me tell you something. I wasn't around to be with Abraham in heaven. I was around before there was an Abraham. I wasn't around just when there was an Abraham in heaven. I was around before there was an Abraham. And this, at this moment, Jesus now calls his name, himself, the great I am. I am that I am. I am that I am. I am that I am. In that Exodus passage of who God reveals as the I am. I am that person, that I am. Before Abraham was born, that who is what I am. And immediately the next passage is that they take up stones to stone him. They knew what it meant because it said any person who makes himself out to be God should be stoned with stones. Let me show you a few other passages like this. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. That's right. That's right. Not only equal with God, but the I am. Another passage, John chapter 10. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him, and Jesus said to them, I show you many good works for my Father. For which of these are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself out to be God. That's right. I'm convinced that's why Jesus asked them these questions, to make them speak what was in their heart, to realize in their mind what they were doing of what he was claiming to be and who he was claiming to be. Who he was claiming to be. Jesus says, before there was an Abraham, that's who I am. That was my name. That's I am. Now, again, this is not the first time. Now, this is when he finally did it. But this is not the first time he did it. Let me show you again just a few passages of how this occurred. This is in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the passage of the woman at the well in Samaria, the woman, the Samaritan woman. Jesus answered and said to her, the Samaritan, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." He's saying, woman, you pick up this water and you drink this water and you're going to be thirsty in a few hours again. But I have a water that I'm going to give to you and you'll never be thirsty. I have a life. I have a well of water. You'll never thirst. Look, the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of them. And she says, Lord, give me this water. Then she said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all these things to us. And notice what Jesus says next. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am, and the he is not there. In fact, it should have in parenthesis who speak to you. In fact, the right translation would be, I am who speaks this to you. I am. Not, yes, I am the Christ. He doesn't say that. He goes back to the passage for the first time and identifies himself with I am that that person is, that I am who I am that I am in Exodus. I am who speaks to you. Another passage in John 13. This is Jesus just having washed the disciples' feet. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass that when it occurs, then you may believe that I am. The he is not in the original. The he is in italics. The he is not there. I'm telling you these things that you may know that when these things happen, about his death and his betrayal and about his resurrection and meeting them and the new kingdom of God, he says, ultimately, I'm saying these things to you that you may believe I'm it. I am. I am. And then finally, when Jesus is being arrested, this is the Romans are coming. Judas is coming. The synagogue policemen are coming. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, who do you seek? They said to him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am. The he is not there. The he is not there. I am. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with him. And notice what happens next. When he said to them, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. Just for a moment, when Jesus unbuttons the top of his coat and reveals, I can't deny who I am, because I am that I am. They all fall back. Just the words of that, they fall back to the ground. Look, they drew back and they fell to the ground. They all, like slaying them down. Here's where you get these wonderful passages. What does this mean? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who he was in the end, in the beginning, who he was at the end. Yesterday, there's no change of who he is. That he is the present I am. I am that I am. What you need, that I am. What your desire is, that I am. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Probably the best way of understanding this is given to us in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know what the Alpha is? The Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He's saying, I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm everything that there is. I'm creation, I'm creation. I'm salvation, I'm salvation. I'm the God of Arizona, I'm the God of the islands, I'm the God of judgment, I'm the God of mercy, I'm the God of hell, I'm the God of heaven, I'm the God of all things, I'm the God of the breath that you breathe, I'm the God of your body, I'm the God of your eyes, I'm all that there is, the fullness of God, that I am. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the first and the last. Who is, who was, and who is to come. The best way to describe that is John almost says, I don't have words to explain it because you can't explain it, but who is, who was, and who is to come. Everything that there is, everything there is to come, and everything there is now, that who he is. That's who he is. That who is the I am. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Later in Revelation chapter 4, The four living creatures, each of one having six wings and eyes, full of eyes around them and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come." Right now, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Me'ol Oretz Kevadot. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, who is, who was, and who is to come. The I am. Everything, everything, life, breath, dirt, sky, sun, animals, creation, Saturn, the moon, salvation, the judgment, the things we see are temporal, the things we do not see are eternal. Every kingdom, every highness, every mountain shall be made low, every valley shall be exalted. I'm all of that. I'm all of that. I'm all of that. And then you question, who is this speaking here? Then you get the revelation. Behold, I'm coming quickly. That's Jesus speaking now. And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. That is who I am. I am that I am. That I am. That I am. That whose I am. This is the only title that Jesus finally gives himself. Finally. Finally. Jesus declares that the very existence of everything God is, Jesus says, that is I. That's me. Jesus says the very existence of God is the very existence of who I am. Every name you give to the name of God, Jesus says, that's my name. I mean, just listen to these words. You believe in God, you believe also in me. God is a God of love, and this is what Jesus would say to us. God is a God of love. I am the God of love. That I am. That I am. God is a God of peace. That I am. I am the God of peace. God is a God of forgiveness. That I am, that I am. I'm the God of God is the God of compassion, that I am. I am the God of compassion. God is the God of power, I am the God of power, that I am. God is the God of judgment. God is the God of retribution. God is the God of wrath, that I am, that I am. I am the God of wrath. God is the God of the swallows. God is the God of the birds. God is the God of the sea. God is God of all that's been created, that I am. That's why Paul said the whole world holds together. In him, all things consist. In him, all things consist. And then to take it a step further to you and to me is just saying very simply, you need forgiveness? Jesus would say, that I am. You need love? That I am. You need healing? That I am. You need hope? That I am. You need forgiveness or peace? That I am. Everything you will ever need in this mortal life, Jesus is saying, that I am. That I am. That I am. And from here, this is where you get these amazing statements, of course, that's referred to as the 10 I Ams. I've preached on this years ago here at Grace Church. Of course, this is the crowning one that we looked at in John chapter 6. Or John chapter 8. But let's just look at these again. In John chapter 6, Lord, always give us the bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I am that bread. The bread that will last to eternal life. The bread that man will not hunger. The bread that will satisfy. The bread that will fulfill. The bread that will give us all that we need. The bread that will give us nourishment. All the right minerals. All the right vitamins. Everything that we need. I am that bread that's come out of heaven. I am that bread. Not bread out of heaven that God gave to the manna and the children of Israel and they died along the way. The true bread out of heaven. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. God is light. God is light. The first thing God said ever, the first utterance he ever said, let there be light. Light. The minute God stepped out of eternity into time and space, he brought who he was. Light. radiance, light. We can't even see God, it's so bright. The angels have to cover their eyes. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Light is a shine of radiance, purity, brightness, power. I am the light of this world. And why didn't he appear as the light? Because he was covered with human flesh, humanity. The light became flesh and dwelt among us. I am the light of this world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. You're going to see the revelation of all things. It will all be revealed to you. The veil will be taken away. Will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You're going to see what life is, what to know what true life is. You're going to see what eternal life is. What's going to see what's ultimate life. You're going to see light, because in thy light we see light. The book of Psalms says that. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. I'm the door. There's no other door to go in to be saved. No other door. There's no other name given among men by which we can be saved. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other door. I don't care how sincere you are. I don't care how good you are as a Jew, how sincere you are as a Buddhist, how much you flagellate yourself, how much you do the signs of the cross, how much you genuflex in front of the cross. It doesn't make a blasted difference. It doesn't make a blasted difference. Because you're not the door. Jesus is the door. And if you don't go through that door, you're lost. You're lost because he is the I am. He's the I am. He's the I am. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Now, you may just cross over the finish line, but you're going to be saved. Because if it doesn't depend on you, it's on Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's only one good shepherd. There's only one shepherd that can lay down his life for the sheep. Not a pope, not a rabbi, not a Billy Graham, not a Mahatma Gandhi, not a Dalai Lama, not a Zen Buddhist, nothing. All they are specks of dust with air pumped inside of them, because that's all I am, is a speck of dust. And that's all you are, my friend. You're just a speck of dust with air pumped inside of you. He is the good shepherd. And only he can lay down his life for the sheep. Only he can lay down his life for the sheep. There's no other sheep. He said, all the other shepherds, all the other sheep that come before me or after me, they're not, they're all fakes. In fact, Jesus even said this. Many will come in my name, preaching in my name, doing things in my name, saying, I am the Christ. He says, they're all fakes. They're all fakes. They're all fakes. They're all fakes. Because only there's only one I am. There's only one I am. And I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the light. I am the bread. This is at the tomb of Lazarus. Mar said to him, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. That's a good Jewish answer. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection. The resurrection is not a day. The resurrection is a person. God is the resurrection. It's not a day. I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Well, Glenn Jensen died. No, he didn't die. You know, Jesus never refers to people dying. He talks to them about being asleep. You know that? Jesus never, in fact, finally he tells Lazarus is asleep. Oh, that's good. He has a fever. He'll go sleep. That's good. He'll get well. He said, Lazarus is dead. But I'm going to go and wake him up out of his sleep. I am the resurrection of life. The hour is coming and now, and Jesus said, when everyone who is in the tomb will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth. Everyone, everyone. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone. Every Buddhist, every Muslim, every Jew, every Christian, every Catholic, every Baptist, everyone. And the labels will all be nothing. We'll be all specks of dust with air pumped inside of us. Because we are nothing and he is everything. I must decrease, he must increase. I must decrease, he must increase. I am the resurrection of life. There's more. Thomas said to them, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. The way is not a path. The way is a person. I want to know the way. I'm the way. Well, no, I want you to show me the way. There's no showing you the way. I'm the way. Then you're the way and the gravel and the path. And yeah, I that's it. That's it. Don't look for the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. The truth is only found in Jesus Christ. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. In much words, there is much sin. For this reason, I've come in this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears my words hears the truth. Jesus said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man comes to the Father except through me. No Buddhist comes to God. No Muslim comes to God. No Jew, no Catholic, no Baptist comes to God except through Jesus Christ. Except through Jesus Christ. Does that mean that 99.9% of the people are going to hell? I don't know. That's not my problem. That's not my problem. But I know that this is true, and every man is a liar. No man will come to God except through Jesus Christ. Except through Jesus Christ. And if you have a problem with this, my friend, you better get rid of your Bible and erase it and throw it in the garbage can and make your own world to live in it, because you're lost without it. It's true. You're lost without it. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're lost. You're eternally lost. I can say at your funeral, this man is in hell today with absolute certainty, because he didn't come to God through Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus Christ and putting all of his trust and hope in the person of Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to God except through me. I'm that way. I didn't hear to show you the way. I'm the way. That's why you got to be in me, because I'm everything. I am. I am. I am. I am. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you're the branches. The nourishment, the source, life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. My friend, you got out of bed this morning because of the power of Jesus Christ. You're breathing this morning because of the power of Jesus Christ. Your heart is beating this morning because of the power of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, the world doesn't know that. That's right, they don't know that. The difference between us and them is that they don't know that yet. But the day's going to come, even if it's in the last day and the judgment, they're going to realize too late, it's now Jesus Christ that gave me my life and breath and all things. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Nothing. I can't play a note on the piano. I can't open up my Bible. I can't do anything, anything, anything. Anything. Apart from him, I can do nothing. And apart from him, I am nothing. If apart from him, I can't do anything, I must be nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? Because there's only one I am. From him is everything. From him is everything. That's why God made the world out of nothing. He didn't need anything. He is everything. God didn't make it from clay already that was made. He didn't need clay already that was made. He is everything. Everything. Revelation 22, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me. My reward is not with a saint. It's not with Mary. It's not with a Jew. It's not with Pastor Sam. It's not with your husband. It's not with your wife. It's not from Grace Church. It's not a plaque that you're going to get. My reward is from me. Why? Because I'm everything. My reward is with me. To render to every man according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. This is the I Am. There's 10 I Ams. 8 in the book of John, Gospel of John. 2 in the book of Revelation. These are the 2 in the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You want to make sure that I'm it? He makes yours. I'm the first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You know what the first is? Number one. You know what the last is? Whatever it is, it's the last. One with 925 infinite trillion, billion, 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 quadrillion, sextillion zeros. And then there's still another one. That's the last. I'm the last. No, you get it. You get it. I mean, we don't get it. We don't get it. I'm the beginning and the end. When is the beginning? When the beginning is beginning, it's beginning. I was there in the beginning. And when is the end? At the end, at the end, I'm going to be at the end, because at the end, I'm at the end. I am the end. I am the end. I'm the beginning and I am the end. And the last I Ams is in Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things of the church. I am, this is the last one. I am the root of the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. You know what the root and descendant of David? I am the king. I am the king. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed art thou, our Lord, our God, king of the universe. Melech in Hebrew, king, king. You know what they called Solomon? Shlomo Melech. When you saw King Solomon, Shlomo Melech. Solomon the king, David the king, he is the ruler, he is all, he's the ruler, he's the king, and the bright and morning star. You know what the bright and morning star is? Every moment with Jesus, every moment is like the beginning. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You get it? That's why I always said, how many times have I said in the pulpit, God is always the point of a new beginning. This is the passage. God is every moment with Jesus. It's like the beginning. It's the beginning. Well, it was a beginning a minute ago. It's a beginning. It's a new bright star. It's the new morning star. It's the new morning star. But that was just a minute. It's a new morning star. This is my God. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered in the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. Now, after all this message, I have a question. What did we see this week? We saw the death of a pope with millions of people weeping, paying homage. We saw billions of people tuning in to see this event. And I don't get it. I don't know, why do I need Mary? Why do I need a saint to pray to? I don't get it. I don't get it. Why do I need to put water on a coffin? Why do I need to put water on my forehead? Why do I need to do this? Why do Jews have to put on the tefillin? I don't get it. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is not enough for us. He's not enough for us. I've got something I need still to do. Jesus is not, he's not all that there is. He's not, I need Mary. I need a saint. I need a priest. This is what I need. And my friend, the bottom line is this. Whether you're a Baptist or whether you're an evangelical free, whether you got to realize that your life is only dependent on not what you do, but who Jesus Christ is and what he's done. I mean, listen to what I'm saying here. You don't need the church. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to take communion. It's not dependent on what you do. It's dependent on who he is. Now, why do I want to live for this Jesus Christ? Because when I realize who he is and what he's done for me, the way I can show thankfulness and appreciation and the reality of it, I want to live this way for him. That's why the Christian life is not complicated. We make it complicated. The Christian life is very simple. It's a way of thanking God for what he means to me. That's all it is. Don't make it more than that. You're going to go down the wrong path. I do this. Well, then that's why you genuflex, and that's why you need water. That's why you need to be baptized in this, and that's why you need to do this. That's why Presbyterians do this, and that's why Baptists do this. That's why Catholics do this. That's why you need to speak in tongues in this. That's all hogwash. That's all hocus pocus. It's the ultimate of stupidity. It's our stupidity of inventing things because we do not see who he is and who Jesus Christ is as the I am. We have invented this ignorance and this stupidity. Now, my friend, when you start to go down that path, when you begin to not see Jesus as the I am, and you begin to create your own world, don't eat meat on Friday. What kind of stupidity is that? What does eating meat on Friday have anything to do with knowing God? Jesus already said it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, and what comes out of a man that defiles the man. Thus Jesus made all food clean. He made it, I mean, there it is, clean. Once you go down that path, let me tell you something. It makes shipwreck of your faith. Now, you may be religious, that's fine. A lot of people in hell are religious. A lot of people are sincere, but then they're sincerely wrong. You know how it is to be sincerely wrong? I was sincerely wrong. 2 years ago, I read this to our church. I've kept this by my bedside ever since. It's in my dresser. This was in the Arizona Republic 2 years ago. The campaign of reaching Jews to convert them to Christianity, quote, is no longer theologically needed or accepted in the Catholic Church. summing up the series of the Vatican pronouncements, the bishops and the Pope have announced that the Old Testament covenant between the Jews and God is eternally valid, and the Jews do not need to know Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, my friend, I was Jewish. That meant if I met ever a Catholic, he wouldn't care if I was a Catholic. He wouldn't care if I knew Jesus Christ. He wouldn't care if I went to read the New Testament. And let me tell you something, I'd be going to hell. That's a new form of anti-Semitism, by the way. That's a new way of hating the Jews. Let's send them all to hell, and let's not tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not done. Read. No, listen, listen. While the Catholic Church must bear witness to the world to bring the good news of Christ, this evangelistic task no longer includes the wish to absorb Jews into Christianity, and so has ended the distinction of witnessing to Jews in God's human history. This is sick. And then I'm going to tell you a story. I was at the gym. I don't have cable television. And so I'm at the gym and I'm running, and there is CNN, and it's all the Pope. And they decided to interview the official Pope's conductor. Now, I didn't know the Pope had a conductor, but it makes sense that whenever the Pope had a big mass or he had these world youth days, 150,000 youth would come out in Denver, they'd have music. And the musician was a Jewish man named Gilbert Levine. Well, I didn't know when he said Gilbert Levine, I says, that sounds pretty Jewish, you know. So there is Gilbert Levine. They interviewed him for 10 minutes, which is a long time. He said, you've known this Pope for 18 years. Yes, yes, oh yes, I was there. I was intimate with this Pope. Every time he had a service with music, I was involved in it. Oh, almost everything he did, every place he went, I went there with him. He says, well, tell me about the effect of the spirituality of this man. He says, well, my spirituality, he said, this is the man speaking, my spirituality is my music, okay? But he says, I will say this, that after knowing this man for 18 years, he never once talked to me about Jesus Christ or asked me about knowing Jesus Christ or asked me about reading the New Testament or proselytized me or in any way tried to convert me to know Jesus Christ. And I almost, out of weakness, fell off the treadmill. Here is the vicar of Christ, the infallible representation of Jesus Christ, and a man sits next to you for 18 years, and you don't have even the heart from what the scriptures say? I don't get it. I'm telling you something. I don't get it. I don't know what to do with this. You know what Jesus said at one point? By your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You realize this man, and then this man went on and said, this is so great about this man. He just affirmed everybody, if you were a Muslim, be a good Muslim. He kept saying this. I couldn't believe it. If you're a Buddhist, he just said, be a good Buddhist. I couldn't believe it. This man is condemning this man in the presence of the judgment of Jesus Christ. I get on an airplane, my brothers and sisters, and I sit next to a man for 2 hours, and I feel guilt that I wasn't able to reach this man for Jesus Christ to open up a conversation, give my testimony. And here's a man sitting next to me for 18 years, the vicar of Christ, the representation of Jesus Christ on the earth, and he has not a word. I don't know. I can't figure it out. He can't give what he doesn't have. Well, you know, as we finish this, let me tell you how for us. You know, remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, God said to Adam and Eve, where are you? What's the best thing Adam and Eve could have done at that point? You know what the best thing they could have done? They could have said, here I am. But they didn't. They hid themselves from God. They ran away from God. And you know what I did? I started doing a study this week, and I noticed that everybody that God used in a wonderful way and God revealed himself to them, you know what they always said? Here I am. Here I am. You know what the burning bush is? Moses, Moses, here I am. Now, amazing those words. I am that I am. And God just saying, Sam, Sam, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. When he spoke to Isaiah, who's going to go for us? Isaiah said, here I am. Here I am. Send me. In fact, I was even looking at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was converted, and he told him to go, the appearance of Paul. And he goes into Jerusalem, or into Damascus, excuse me. And then there's this man called Ananias. And you know, God says, Ananias, Ananias. And you know what Ananias says? Here I am. Here I am. I mean, you know, I've often said, I want to know the great-grandfather of Billy Graham. I want to know the guy that shared Jesus Christ with his great-grandfather. I want to know the guy that met Paul and laid hands on him. Ananias, here I am. You see, when we say, here I am, then God says, you're going to know me as the I am. And the same thing with Abraham on the mountaintop. When God called Abraham, 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 he said, here I am, here I am, here I am. Well, that's all God asks of us. Here I am. Here I am. To not be ashamed of this Christ. To not try to hide this Christ. But to be a light for this Christ. He is this light. He is this I am. To share Christ. To reach people for Jesus Christ. To give for Jesus Christ. To give for Jesus Christ, to serve Jesus Christ, to go door and door for Jesus Christ, to put door hangers for Jesus Christ. I mean, what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing. What a blessing to do this, to live and to know him and to acknowledge him. With all these names, Jesus, the Christ, Son of Man, Son of God, Lamb of God, Emmanuel, Advocate, and ultimately, the great I am. Brothers and sisters, it's worth living for Jesus Christ. It's worth living for Jesus Christ. It's worth being holy for Jesus Christ. It's worth even, if I could say this lovingly, it's worth offending someone to reach them for Jesus Christ. It's worth it. It's worth it. And you know something? I'm going to write a letter to Gilbert Levine. Don't laugh. It's not funny. I'm going to write a letter to Gilbert Levine. And I'm going to tell him, if you stood next to this man for 18 years and he'd tell you about Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You need to know Jesus. I'm writing a letter to this man. And he'll get the letter. You write Gilbert Levine, the Vatican, Rome, he'll get the letter. There's no doubt in my mind he'll get the letter. I don't want his blood on my hands. Here was this man who didn't hear about Christ. And if he writes me a letter, he throws in the garbage. I'd rather get him mad for Jesus Christ than to be an idiot and never know what it means to know Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And what could we say again of your Son? We know that in honoring your Son and living for your Son and serving your Son and even dying for your Son is your desire and your will. And so, Lord, as we have gone through these months of these names of your Son, we say with newness of breath in our lungs, may he increase and we decrease. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. We are nothing but dirt and dust and specks. The nations of this earth are accounted as nothing in your sight. It is a drop of condensation. Help us to live our breath and our life for the great I am, who is, who was, and who is to come. Father, I pray you'd bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Please greet one another in his love. God bless you. Stay for the fellowship and Sunday school if you can.